Well, good morning to you. It is a delight to be here this morning in my heart and soul. God has been so good to me and so faithful. Before we get forward, going forward, get my eyes on. I can see here, but if I look out there, I can't see you. These are just readers. You guys are a little bit blurry to me, so that's probably safe for me and safe for you. First off, I would like to thank everyone for your prayers for Chris and our family in the homegoing of her dad. He went home to be with the Lord March 31st. Chris and her sisters and his wife was right by his side when he took his last breath. You know, just a blessing. And he was a wonderful father-in-law. Just a wonderful father-in-law. You people would have loved him. Just loved him. But we felt prayed for, and God was honored in his memorial services. Sometimes we wonder how God works in our lives. I'd like to also thank everyone for your prayers for me while I was sick with COVID. I came down with COVID 3 days after, 4 days after Easter. On our way down to the funeral, I was supposed to do the funeral in Virginia. Thursday, driving down, a fever come over me. And got down there. And I know when a fever comes. Some people do, some people don't. But anyways, came down with fever. I said, we need to go get tested. Chris and I got tested. She was negative, which I was so grateful for. But I was positive. And I was quarantined to a hotel all by myself. And couldn't be there with my wife and the burial of her father. And it was hard for me. It was hard for her. But God allowed our oldest son, Wes, to do the service. And I can honestly say I'm so grateful God took me out of the way so my son could do the service. Not only was God honored and glorified, but my father-in-law was honored as well. And so I told my wife, if not for only that, I'm glad God chose to do what he did. So I was down with COVID for 3 weeks, and God has said that the number of my days has not yet come up. So as you still have opportunities to love on me and pray for me, and God still wants to use me in this life, and I want to be used by him. I want God to change me. I want him to conform me to the image of Jesus. I want to be like him. And so I want to be used by him, and I trust the Lord to do that. But I am so grateful for your prayers. I felt prayed for. I was prepared to let COVID take my life. I'm ready to go home to be with Jesus. I'm 60 years old. You say that's young, but this world is not my home. Amen? Amen. So, let's pray. Lord, we are so grateful that you've gathered us here this morning. I pray that you'd impart to us your word. It is your word that you've given to us. You ask us to walk by faith. You ask us to, what Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of your mouth. So God, we know that your word has been established for our lives. I pray that you glorify yourself as we read your word this morning. I also pray that God, your word would change us. We don't want to leave here today being the same. We want you to completely change us, conforming us to the image of Jesus. So Lord, we need your grace for that. We need your help for that. I need your help this morning to be able to even stand here and speak. Just pray that you may clear to my words, and I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be acceptable before you. But I also pray that you give us the ears to hear what the Holy Spirit would have to say to each one of us. Thank you for your faithfulness in our lives. Thank you for your kindness, your goodness, your love, and your mercy. We don't deserve any of it. But because of who you are, you love us with an everlasting love. And we commit this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. The power of our spoken words. Really, this message is coming from some sense of the meditations that I've gone with our messages from the book of Ruth. And so I've seen some things out of the book of Ruth. Not only are life changing for me, but very powerful, very, very powerful. And I want to just share some of those thoughts with you this morning. Trust that the Lord would bless you. So the power of our spoken words. There's so much in the book of Ruth, you know, that as we've just gone through, and as elders have spoken about this with each other, that there, for four small, short chapters, there is so much richness there. There is. If we were to go through the book of Ruth in 10 years from now, do you know we would still gain a whole lot more out of that we did in the first time around? And that's because of God. He's so great. He's so big. His ability to communicate things to us is just, sometimes it blows me away. And so when we see in His Word that we would understand the height and the depth and the wisdom from the Word of God, that we, every one of us, would fall in love with His Word. That's His desire for us. That's a standard for us. And we, as the time goes on in this life, this is where it's going to be for our lives. Because the world is not going to give anything that's going to come close to this. In fact, it's going to come to a point where they may hate you because you love this. The title of the message can be very misleading. So I want to hopefully qualify something of what I'm trying to communicate this morning. The message is not about saying, or that we can say, a name it and claim it. Okay? This church doesn't embrace that mindset or that doctrine. And we don't name something, the words that are of our mouth, we can't just simply name it and claim it and all of a sudden it happens. That's not how God works. It's not in the scriptures. You have to twist some of the scriptures to make that be a reality. And that's not how God is. I am not saying that we can speak anything to an existence. That's not what I'm saying. We do not have the ability. I do not have the ability to speak into existence something from nothing. God can. Go back to Genesis, the first three chapters, and you will see Him speaking from nothing and making something. That's the power of God. And so when we recognize our limitations before who God is and His holiness and His splendor and His righteousness and all that He is, we fall short because we're the ones that have been created. He is the Creator. We have to keep that separate. But I want you to understand the importance of the power of our words, how when we speak them in a way that we can speak life and we can speak hope and we can speak joy and we can speak peace to people. Jesus wants us to be living examples of Him as He walked on this earth because of the Spirit of God that lives in us. He wants to live through us and He wants to speak through us. This morning, what I'd like to come across from the scriptures is that the scriptures speak to our ability to communicate in ways to bring life, hope, peace, and love to those around us in our lives. He wants to use us as vessels unto honor for His glory. Proverbs 18:21 says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love to eat its fruits." Ephesians encourages us to let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth, but only such as is good for the building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. We as born-again believers have a responsibility to be extremely careful to the things that we say. If you knew me 40 years ago, I don't talk the same as I did then. I don't even think the same as I did then. I had more hair back then, okay? I was a lot less heavier back then, okay? Colossians chapter 4, verse 6 says, "Let your speech always be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man." Those are responsibilities we have because we identify ourselves as Christians, as born-again believers, that we, as we know Jesus, He asks us and expects us to allow our bodies to be living, help me here. Living sacrifices. Thank you. He wants us to be living sacrifices for His purposes and for His glory. As we yield these members, is what Romans says, they can be members of righteousness. But there are some cautions in the scriptures, and so let's consider those with our mouths and the things that come out of our mouths. If you would, turn to Ecclesiastes. I'm going to try and not comment on too many of these passages. You can pray for me, because each one of the passages could be a message in themselves, and we don't have all day. I have found that going through COVID, I still don't have 100% capacity in my lungs. That's probably for good for your sake this morning. Okay. I had shared with one of the elders here, I was supposed to speak a month ago, I guess. I couldn't. I could not. I couldn't take a breath. And you know, I like all that's in me. I like to share and speak, and there, it wasn't all in me. So Ecclesiastes chapter 10, I didn't tell you where. Chapter 10, verses 12 through 14. It said, "The words of a wise man's mouth win him favor, but the lips of a fool consume him. The beginning of the words of his mouth is foolishness, and the end of his talk is evil madness. A fool multiplied words, though no man knows what is to be, and who can tell what will be after him." It's sobering. Need to be careful. Turn over to James chapter 3. James has a lot to say about the tongue, the mouth. We'll start in verse 1. We'll read down to verse 12. "Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For we all stumble in many ways. And if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, so able also to bridle the whole body. If we put bits in the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder, wherever the will of the pilot directs. So is the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird and reptile and sea creature can be tamed, and has been tamed by mankind. But no human can No human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth comes blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not so to be. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. The emphasis there is no man can tame the tongue. You, I, cannot tame this little la-la-la-la. We can't. We need the Spirit of God and God's grace and His power to keep this rascal under control. We can't do it. There have been times in my life that I had said evil things even as a born-again believer. And I'm not talking about vulgar language. I'm not talking about profanity. I'm talking about things that should have never come out of my mouth, that I have destroyed the ones who are the most closest and who I love the most. There have been times that I have literally destroyed the emotion and the will and the mentality of my wife. It's sad to say that has happened, but it's true. When I allow me to be dictated by the emotions of the moment, of my pressures of life, of all these things, and not directed by the grace of God and the Spirit of God in me, that what comes out of my mouth, if it's not directed by that, it's ugly. It's terrible. As I am growing in my Christian faith, I don't want to do anything but to bless that woman. God is showing me that, and I need His help to do that. Then also with my kids, I mean, there's times I've said things to my kids, and I've said things that are truthful. And my wife said, that was unloving. I mean, Caleb, my second-born son, he has two memories of Dad's Hall of Shames that has been against him. And both times it came out of this. Whoosh. I won't tell you what they are, but it's sad that has happened. One actually happened on his 14th birthday in an auditorium at a basketball game. And everyone in the whole place heard what I said. Yeah. In fact, I told a dear brother one time we were conversing, and he said, I have that capability. I'm like, he was sitting up, my wife was right behind him, sitting up there. I actually encountered with the official in the gymnasium. I was infuriated. I was already prompted by the Lord at halftime that I needed to leave. I disobeyed the Lord. And I stayed there, getting riled up. Competition. My boys are playing. The refs are terrible. You've never been to a game like that, have you? And I just let her loose. And he walked right over to me. He said, sir, if you don't control yourself, I'm going to ask you to leave. It wasn't good. So I laid into him loud. I laid into him loud. Believe me, I'm not proud of this. I'm not proud. It was just wickedness. And my brother, he's sitting there and he hits his wife. He said, honey, it's happening. It's just like John said, he does. And then all of a sudden he just put his hands in his knees and he started to cry out to the Lord for me. And he said, oh God. And my wife she put her head in her hand and I walked out. By the time I got home, God convicted me and said, everything you said to that ref, you're guilty of in your own life. I had to go back to so many people and ask them to forgive me. I had to go back to that ref. I knocked on his door at nighttime. He came to the door. He probably should have kept the door closed, you know, thinking this guy's after me now. I'm a stalker, you know. It wasn't, but God did such a work in me that I had to go back and confess and repent. That was 24 years ago. God is rooting that stuff out of my life, and it's happening less and less and less and less and less. And I can't tell you the last time it happened. I don't want it to happen. I need God to control this rascal. We need God to control our tongues. Apart from Him, we don't have a chance. We don't have a chance. And I pray you people never see that side of me. I pray that never happens. My daughter, I love her dearly. And you know how women get a new dress? Okay? You see where this is going. She wants to show Dad. What do you think, Dad? You like it? That was many years ago. And I said, honey, I don't like it. And this is why I don't like it. And it wasn't that soft. And it was that moment, Chris said, that was so unloving to your daughter. And so I'm learning how to say things differently that would show people that I care about them and I love them. When I said something in truth to my kids, did it come across in a loving way? Because truth without love is harshness. And love without truth is a compromise. And we have to be careful with that. God wants to be very clearly in our lives that what He's doing on the inside, changing us, conforming us, that what comes out is that the things that are spoken and He's given us freedom to speak. That we're not being self-willed. We're not being self-righteous. We're not being controlled by this carcass, the flesh. Turn on over to Matthew chapter 12. Verse 33. This is Jesus speaking. He had just said some things to the Pharisees, and the Pharisees accused him of casting out demons and the prince of demons. Jesus said, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For the tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you speak good when you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good person out of his good treasure brings forth good. And the evil person out of the evil treasure brings forth evil. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Paul said in Romans, he said, you are without excuse for the very things that you judge, you're guilty of doing also. We've got to be careful. We really have to be careful as born again believers that any judgment belongs to God, not to us. Proverbs chapter 29, it says, do you see a man who is hasty in his words? There is more hope of a fool than him. I demonstrated being a fool when I lashed out at that referee. Chapter 29, verse 11 of this says, a fool utters all his mind, but a wise man keeps it in till afterwards. It's better to keep your mouth shut rather than say something that you're going to regret. The only way we can do this is look into the Lord for help of what comes out of our mouth. And because of the changed heart, He wants that which is edifying, that's going to edify the body of Christ, that's going to draw people to Jesus and know that the transformed life that's taken place in us, knowing that there is hope because we're living in ways that communicates hope to other people, blessing, love. We're living in a world right now that the world has perverted love altogether. And we've got to be the example of what love is. Psalms. So how can we do this? How can we do this? Psalm 19 verse 14 says, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer." We have to, by prayer, go before the Lord and ask Him to keep this thing under control. We can't do it. We need His help. We need His help. Psalm 141 verse 3 says, "Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth." I have prayed this many times. This is a memory verse that I have memorized and cry out to the Lord. There's times I'd have done well if I'd have done it 24 years ago. And it's been since then that I've been memorizing that verse. But it says, "Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips." James also says, "You be swift to hear and slow to speak." There's been times I've been guilty to speak fast. Let it come out. Just poof. Rather than checking with the Holy Spirit and know that I've gotten freedom to say what I'm going to say. There's some godly men in this congregation who are very good at that. Very careful with their words and very, very under control of the Holy Spirit and very careful to what they're going to say. I admire that. I need that in my life. So how do our words communicate power to the hearers? First of all, it's possible. When Jesus said in John chapter 6 to His disciples, and you know the story when He says, you know, "Unless you eat my flesh and drink of my blood, you have no place with me." And it says many of them followed Him no more. And then the disciples said, "This is a hard saying. Who can receive it?" And Jesus said, "Listen, the words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life." We have that Holy Spirit living in us. And as our words are controlled by the Holy Spirit, we're able to speak life to people. We're able to speak hope to people. Have you ever been with anybody who has felt total hopelessness? And you come along to them and say, you know, "God is here and God can help you. In fact, I'm willing to go and walk this with you." All of a sudden you begin to see hope well up in them that you've not seen before. Or how about the times that you communicate that you genuinely love somebody? And I'm not talking about romantically. I'm talking about a genuine love for a person. And you invest in them. And then all of a sudden they begin to see the love of Christ, knowing that you are true to what you said you were, loving them. See, because all these things that comes out of our mouth, it's got to be backed up by our lives. We have to live it. We can't just simply say it. It is by the grace we receive from Jesus and our souls for salvation, and He transforms us into His image. Our hearts are changed to salvation, and He desires that the fruit of our lips speak as He would speak. It is Christ in us that we are able to speak life. It is Him who gives power over our words. It is His transforming grace in us. You say, how so? Paul said, Romans chapter 10, he said, "For if thou wilt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart Man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You don't think there's not power in that? It changes your life. Because of the transformation that's taking place in your heart, and it comes out in your mouth. And people see that. Proverbs 25:11 says, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and in setting of silver. Have you ever been in a place where yourself, and all of a sudden you've had a dear brother or sister speak to you just one on one, and all of a sudden the Lord just illuminates your heart and gives you hope, gives you strength, gives you encouragement, gives you peace? Have you ever been there? I've been there. And I enjoy being in that place as well. I'll give you a testimony. I went to Barrical. This is over 30 years ago. And Friday night, as you go there, you're kind of sitting around the table and a bunch of men. And I meet this guy there. And at the time, he was 50-something, between 50 and 55. We got to talking. He was there all by himself. I was with a group of guys, and we just started talking. Got to know him, and I asked him if he was married. He said, yeah. I said, any kids? He said, well, it's quiet. And I said, as I asked him that, he said, well, I have a 30-year-old son, and I was divorced. I got remarried, and my wife's about 20 years younger than me, and he said she's pregnant with twins, and he was downcast, and I said, that is awesome. Praise the Lord. What a blessing from the Lord. The children are the fruit of his womb, and he's the one that opens it up and he gives you. He looked at me like I had two heads, okay? And we connected all weekend. I saw him 5 years later at Barrical. He pulled me aside. He said, you have no idea what your statement said to me that night. You gave me hope that I can be a dad to these twins. You gave me encouragement when everyone around me was speaking discouraging words to me, almost to the point of, what in the world are you doing? And when I saw that guy 5 years later, his countenance had changed. We never know what God is going to do in our response of simply loving somebody and saying something. And all I was doing was speaking the scriptures to him. I didn't know that everyone in his life was speaking hopelessness. It's important that we're used of the Lord in those ways, and we speak his love and his hope and his peace, encouragement and strength. Now, the message. Turn over to Ruth 1. It's not going to be just as long. I'm picking on you. It's fascinating because as we look at Ruth and we look at Naomi and we see the life that Naomi lives, and God in his mercy gives her two sons, and they have two wives and no offsprings, and Naomi's wife dies, and then her sons die, and she's left with two daughter-in-laws. And we'll pick up in verse 6. It says, then she arose with her daughters-in-law to return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the fields of Moab that the Lord had visited his people and given them food. So she set out from the place where she was with her two daughters-in-law. They went on the way to return to the land of Judah. But Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, go return each of you to your mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find rest, each of you in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. And they said to her, No, we will return with you to your people. But Naomi said, Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Have I yet sons in my womb, that they may become your husbands? Turn back, my daughters. Go your way. For I am too old to have a husband. And if I should have, should say I have hope, even if I should have a husband this night and should bear sons, would you therefore wait till they were grown? Would you therefore refrain from marrying? No, my daughters, for it is exceeding bitter to me for your sake that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. Then they lifted up their voices and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, and Ruth clung to her. She said, See, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law. Verse 16. Do not urge me to leave you or return from following you. For where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people. Your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. And there will I be buried. May the Lord do so to me and more also, if anything but death parts me from you. And when Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more. First off, we have to look at Ruth in a way that God has changed her life. We have to look at Ruth that Elimelech and Naomi and the sons lived in such a way. Yes, they left Bethlehem and went there. Okay? Many speculations could be there, but they were still God's children. They were still Israelites. And in the choices that they made, only God can take beauty from ashes. God can, out of wrong choices that we make, God can still bring forth good. And so in this right here, there was something that took place in Ruth that God had changed her in such a way that she wanted to go back with Naomi. Even to the point that she committed herself completely for the care of Naomi. That was a testimony not just to Naomi, but it was the talk of the town that this foreigner would take care of an Israelite. The transformation that took her, and she spoke these words to Naomi, eventually brought life to Naomi. She had no idea that in her commitment of these words, of what it would take her days and weeks and months down the road, the blessing of God. Even to the point when they come into the town and the people say, There's Naomi. And what does she say? Don't call me Naomi, but call me Mara, for I'm bitter. See, even our own words can have an impact on our lives in the bitterness. And I'm sure she walked in such a way, but then all of a sudden her life begins to change. And she even begins to speak things into her daughter-in-law's life that gave hope, that gave direction, that gave, you know, God working in such a mighty way that through the lineage of these people, our Savior was to be born. They had no idea, but yet the commitment that Ruth had for Naomi came out of a changed life. And she spoke it to Naomi. That's awesome. That is awesome. It was God's grace that changed Ruth's heart. It was also God's grace that changed Naomi's heart from being bitter to being hopeful. To being a nurse to her grandson. knowing that the lineage was going to continue on, that God had raised up Boaz for this very moment for Ruth. Our words can impact immediately. So when we look at this, you know, our words can impact that very moment. I can come home and Chris can be busy about her day. And I can come home and wrap my arms around her and squeeze her and tell her I love her and I appreciate everything you have done today that is for the success of our home. Do you know what that does to her? It's words of affirmation that is encouraging my wife because everything she does is for our success as a couple. I was at work 2 weeks ago and one of the secretaries there, and she said, "How are you doing?" I said, "I'm doing pretty well." And talking about COVID, and I said, "I had the best nurse in the world. I have a wonderful wife. She took great care of me, and I believe that." And she looked at me and she said, "I just wish more men would say that about their wives." And I say that to you men. The importance that we have to speak life to our wives, to encourage them because of the strength they are to us. I've told my wife that I don't want to live this life without her. Do you know there's a good chance that one of us is going to be living this life without each other? It's a possibility. If Jesus comes back, we ain't got to worry about that. But I want to build her up because she's the best part of me so that she feels encouraged and loved and strengthened. And it's my responsibility before God to love her as Jesus loves the church. And I can tell you, Jesus is in the process of building every one of us up. He affirms us. He accepts us in the beloved. He looks at us as a workman. So many things that he imparts to us and his love gives us peace. Peace I leave with you, not as the world, the peace that's everlasting. That we need to be able to come into a situation and hopefully be a peacemaker and bring peace into the situation. How about your kids? When's the last time that you have affirmed your kids? As my kids have gotten older, back when they were in their 20s, I used to tell them, I'd look at them sometimes, they'd be with me, and I'd say, "I really like you." Your kids need to hear that. There's times I'll have all three of them around, and my daughter-in-law's around, and I just would say, "I want you guys to know how much I love your mom. She's the world to me." They need to hear that out of my mouth. And then my life needs to demonstrate it to them that she means the world to me. They need to see that. Man, we can do better. You know we can. And wives, now you could say, "John, you're meddling." I'm not trying to meddle. But how many times have you just come up to your husband and hugged him and say, "I appreciate you so much working hard as you do that, as you did today. I appreciate all that you do for us around here." It's edifying the body of Christ, but it's starting right in the home. It's got to start in the home. If it doesn't start in the home, please don't export it. It has to. It has to. So our words can have an impact immediately. I've been reading some things. I'm in leadership at work. And so I've been reading things. How can I speak better to the employees? I want to do that. One of the best things, if you're in leadership, is those under you need to know how much you appreciate them. I'm learning that. And so I tell the ones who are under me more and more, "I really appreciate, oh, you did a good job. Thank you very much." Or I mean, even using "please" to do things rather than just directing orders. Because it's not the military. I've got to ask them. And they could say no, then they won't have a job. I've never had anyone tell me, no, they won't do something. And I'm grateful for that. But I also communicate to my employer how much I appreciate him. He told me today, he said, I appreciate everything you do for this company and the success and everything. And I said, I appreciate you letting me work for you. He said, are you kidding me? He said, it's better that I have you than you have me. And that's the type of relationship him and I have. We will not always see the impact of her words right away. Do you think that Ruth, when she said those words to Naomi, she saw the immediate impact? But because of her life, living for the sake of Naomi, there was a change. The impact was there. And our life needs to be an example of our words spoken. If our lives are not what we say, our talk, our walk needs to match our talk. It has to. If not, we're liars. I'm almost done. Had you nervous when I said now the message? I asked my wife if she would speak for me this morning, and she said, I don't know, how good are your notes? I said, oh, I'm sure you can decipher them. Examples of our words have power towards the examples of our words have power towards others. And it's speaking life, ultimately, is our desire, our words. Anytime we quote scriptures to someone, anytime we speak the word of God and quote the scriptures to someone, we're speaking life. These words are life. These words are life. The more we can memorize it, meditate on it, we speak life. When we let knows how they have benefited our life. Some of these I've already said. Communicating gratefulness. We'll go out to McDonald's and have a meal, and I'll tell Chris, I appreciate your cooking. One time I had one of the grandkids with us, and I said that, and she's eating. When I said that, she looked at me. She got this big old grin. She said, Nana didn't cook. I said, she paid for it. Letting people know you love them. How about birthdays that are coming up or anniversaries? I got a text this past week on Wednesday from a dear brother. He said, I just want you to know that I've been praying for you. I love you, and I appreciate you very much. What do you think that did for me? Praying for others out loud in their presence. I've mentioned this before to you. So often we say, I'll pray for you. We walk away, and we actually forgot that we were going to pray for them. So because of my inability to remember those things, I want to now pray for them right then. And by doing that, I'm not only showing them I love them, but I'm willing to make an investment in their lives that very moment. Because our prayers are going to outlive us. God can do so much more as we cry out to Him in any situation than we can in our own strength. Letting your kids know how you are so glad God gave them to you. That is so important. God, I didn't choose my kids. God chose them, gave them to us. They're gifts from Him. Give affirmations. Text someone and let you know that you've been thinking about them. Give a card to someone to let them know that you've been thinking about them or how much you appreciate them. And in our own prayers for ourselves, in our commitments to God. You see, Paul said, and here's the beauty of all this, in our own prayers for ourselves, as we pray to the Lord, there are things that we give commitments to the Lord. And out of our mouths to the Lord, Paul said, I know in whom I have believed, and I am persuaded, thank you. I'm persuaded that He is able to keep the things that we commit to Him. So as I pray out to the Lord and say, Lord, please keep the door of my mouth. Guard these two lips. As I pray that, is not God able to do that? And so that's coming from a transformed heart through these lips out to God to work mightily on my behalf. He wants to do that for us. And so as we make those commitments to the Lord, God, I want to be a better father. I want to be a better husband. I want to be able to communicate to my children. I commit those things to God. Now, in closing, why do I go back? And I have to be, as I share this with you, I'm so grateful to the Lord. We went through the book of Ruth, and I've read the book of Ruth I don't know how many times. But this time, as we've studied it as a church and looked at it, God's done something in me for me to look back. And you see, back in 1979, October 20th, 1979, there was two 19-year-olds at an altar before the Lord. God just brought this across. These are my vows to my wife. As I read these and I look over these, my God, my Savior, the one who changed my life, has kept these words in many ways. In the presence of God, and these are friends, I, John, take thee, Chris, to be my beloved wife. Entreat me not to leave thee, or return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and whither thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, thy history my history, thy future my future. In sickness and in health, in success and in failure, in joy and in sorrow, I trust you to care for our family. I give you my faith and my love in God's holy name. You might not think that to be much, but the words of my mouth that day, God has kept that. Her people are my people. As I went down to Virginia the first time, I not only fell in love with her family, they fell in love with this Yankee. My wife has been loved by my family, and she loves my family. When my mom passed away, my wife did what she could to help take care of my mom. And then when my dad got ill, came to live with us for 2 years, my wife invested the most in my dad because I was still working. So the commitment on both their hearts, and her vows were close to the same text. But all the years, and so her commitment to my dad, loving him, thy people shall be my people. God has transformed our lives to live out what we confessed before him on that day. I would have never known when I said those words to that wonderful, beautiful girl on that altar that I could have projected 40 some years later what it would look like. And God in his faithfulness has done a mighty work in changing two people who love him, but also love each other. And so I say that to you, to your encouragement, that what God does in our lives and the things that we're able to say can have a great impact for the years to come. Let's pray. Lord, truly it is our desire that the meditations of our heart and the words of our mouth are acceptable. And Lord, we do ask that you would, by your grace, control our lips, control our tongue. Father, would you change us in this area, each one of us? I pray that, Father, as we just really saturate ourselves in the Word of God, that your Word of God would be living in us so that when we speak, it would just be edifying to the body of Christ and glorifying to you. Lord, we need your help. We can't do this in our own strength. We need you. And Father, I do pray that if there's someone here this morning that does not know the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray that you give them grace to be able to receive the Lord Jesus, the one who died for our sins, buried and resurrected and is glorified, sitting on the right hand of the Father right now. I pray that you give them grace to receive the Lord Jesus as their Savior. Father, we just commit our lives to you afresh. I ask that you might use us for your glory and for your kingdom's sake. In Jesus' name. Amen.